Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Wednesday afternoon, January 29th, 2025. You are listening live to Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 this evening, live, local, all over the DMV. And at 4 o'clock in 2 hours ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we do have Wizards tickets for you. It's a Wizards Wednesday on Grant and Danny. Hello, Daniel.
I won't turn my mic on. Been doing this for 15 years. One day I'll figure it out. Today, by the way, as the sun was shining, and I was not cold outside, my friend.
First warm day of the year.
You know what it felt like? You know where my mind wandered? I bet you do, because you're a fellow, you and I share this affliction. Pitchers and catchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, these other wintry cold days where there's still ice left over from the previous ice and there's snow on top of the ice because it snowed a couple more times. There's never been a thaw and it stays in the 20s and it's freezing and miserable and stupid. Your mind doesn't wander to the next thing. Today, as I was trying to chip away at some of the ice on the old sport court out back to let the kids be able to play because there's no school because it's a Wednesday. Anyway, my mind started to wander. Sound of the pop of the glove. Nukes, line drives, squaring up the baseball. Oh, I got a little misty. I got a little excited about it. The pitchers and catchers.
I know you aren't alone on that because I got a call on my way in to the studio today from the wife who asked about signing up our little guy for baseball.
Yeah.
As they were playing in the driveway for the first time in weeks. I was actually thinking about this morning. I don't know if this is the case at your place, but we have enough shade and just areas that don't get a lot of sun, I guess. We still have snow on the ground.
Oh, yeah, plenty. Yeah, in a lot of spots.
That storm that was, 4 or 5 weeks ago, whatever that is. Like, we have big chunks of, a foot of snow, piles of snow still all over. And maybe that'll change with the warmth today for the first time finally. But this was the first time in weeks that my kids were outside playing driveway, out front of the house. Just haven't had the chance to get outside. It's been too damn cold. I don't think this is going to be linear and now starting today, it's just warm forever. That's not really how it works, but it's nice to mix one of these in every now and then.
It's good. Just to remind you that it's out there. How's Noom's bat to ball?
So we got a developing situation here.
All right.
First of all, he can swing it a little bit.
He can roll the pole a little bit?
He can. He can roll the pole. He's got some hand-eye coordination.
Love that.
I like that about him.
Mm-hmm.
I've got him swinging lefty. I want him to throw righty, but he just won't do it.
He won't do it.
He wants to be left-handed. No matter what I do, no matter what I change, no matter how often I say, wrong hand, bud, he goes right back to the left hand. So we're ruling a lot of positions out at this point. Notably, catcher. Anything pretty much in the infield other than first base. I mean, we have really limited ourselves, handcuffed ourselves, because he's going to be a second baseman's size, you know, one of those like 5'8"-ish second baseman.
That Biggio build, yeah.
So he doesn't want to listen to me, though. One day he'll pay for it, but should be a right-handed thrower. He's not. He keeps going left-handed. But we're a little bit of a switch hitter, I would say, but he's better from the left side.
So one of these days, we're not ready for it today, because I don't think sports radio is ready for it. I don't know if you and I's relationship is ready for it. I'm going to tell you that I think there should be left-handed catchers. And I'm going to drop that on you, and I have a several-point discussion for amateur levels that I believe there should be left-handed catchers because the prevalence of the thrower to first base, the prevalence of the left-handed hitter, now at lower levels, more often than before, so this myth about the hitter being in the way of the throw, I think it's been scientifically disproven, just like being on a knee.
Where was this when we've talked about our worst sports takes that we actually believe? You've never brought this up?
I never had the courage to do it. And I'm not doing it now. I just want to let you know that one day I might.
Hypothetically, you could.
One day I might. Yeah, it's that throw to first on those little squibbers on the Steve Mizorak masses right around home plate, easier for the lefty. We don't talk about it, though. We don't talk about it much. At the big league level? It doesn't matter. The guys are that skilled. They can step on the inside foot and kind of throw it on the run. They're great. With all due respect, I don't know if Noobs is going to the show. A lot of guys don't. You know what I mean?
He might not.
But he could play for his high school team. He could be that left-handed catcher that changes the game.
I'd like to start the program before we get into our first topic of the day with a tip of the cap to the Washington Capitals,
mm-hmm.
who yet again, late night caps last night, played and got 2 points. Goals from Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's on a bit of a heater. By the way,
he was due for that, but he had some terrible luck to start the year, so this is correct.
Remember when they traded for him and everyone said, what the heck are you doing? He's a malcontent. It's Cousy 2.0. And then he was just tremendous and helped them become the best team in hockey. It's almost like Brian McClellan's pretty damn good at this whole thing. Alexi Protas and Dylan Strome both scored goals last night, not in that order. And then Logan Thompson celebrating his new 6-year contract with 32 saves on 32 shots. A casual 970 save percentage again last evening. The Caps win by multiple goals. They continue to roll. Next up for the locals, a meeting with the other of the best teams in the sport. This feels a little bit like, you know, a Stanley Cup kind of showdown, potentially. They've got the game at the Senators tomorrow at 7. I'm looking past that to Saturday night when the Winnipeg Jets are here. The only team in the league they have not played yet this season. That's going to be a lot of fun. I am looking forward to seeing some Caps fans out there at Capital One Arena on Saturday night when they get home from a 5-game roadie.
Quick little nugget on Alexi Protas. He's too big to move the way that he moves.
He didn't used to. Last year, skating was a bit of an issue.
Yeah, not now. Whatever he did, write it down and let everyone else know so they can do it too. Good heavens. That goal he scored last night, at no time when that puck was loose did it look like he's going to go get that puck. And then he just flew by this poor defender that must have been in quicksand or he was skating in mush or something. Protas just zipped by the guy like it was nothing. And then with that 9-foot stick that he has, just, you know, it's calmly slid it in between, the arm pad and the corner of the goal. It's just gorgeous. How awesome is he? He's on 30-goal pace, give or take. That team is awesome. Early on, they were winning by scoring a million goals. They were like the 99 Rams on ice. Now, it's like, we'll score 2.5 a game and still beat you because we're complete. They're good, man.
They can win any game.
However you want to win. That's right.
They're here for it, and they're excellent. So, best team in hockey. We will get more into them as the show goes on, I'm sure. But a lot of good right now in DC sports with the Commanders coming off an NFC Championship game and the Caps looking better than they've played really since 2018 when they last won the Stanley Cup. By the way, we should let people know that we are going to be well represented in New Orleans at the Super Bowl next week. We're going to have Radio Row shows here on Grant and Danny. We've already been lining up some excellent guests. I'm really fired up for our guests that we're booking. Because I got to say, Darius and I are being pretty selective. We're swatting a lot of would-be guests away at the rim. There's a lot of Dikembe Mutombo wagging that finger going on with me and Darius. You don't get to just have any Tom, Dick, or Harry on this program, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not accepting 9-to-5 jobbers. But I am fired up for some of the guys that we've already booked, including Hall of Famer Kurt Warner.
Oh, hello there.
Who's going to be joining us on Radio Row. Now, Danny has decided he's going to be staying back in D.C., which is understandable. There's a lot going on at the Ruhier household right now.
Plenty happening, yeah.
But I will be representing the program in New Orleans. And I think I can say, Danny, even though I wish you were there with me and wish you had made the trip, you in New Orleans from a Sunday to a Friday.
That'd be a problem.
That would be a bit of a sticky.
That'd be an issue. It's an issue for anybody health-wise, I think. I mean.
But specifically you.
Exactly. Like, everybody, yes. But especially me. I have a track record.
You gained 17 pounds in 4 days.
Yep.
This would be a couple more than that.
Yep. That's a 5-day affair. I mean, I had a food hangover last time. You know, like when people drink too much alcohols, you've heard of this happening. I mean, not you, but like.
How much of your decision not to go was fear out of just health reasons and that you could end up in intensive care?
50%.
Okay. You just don't trust yourself
no.
in New Orleans for that many days. And to be clear, Danny doesn't drink anything. So I don't mean he thinks he's going to like collapse on Bourbon Street and he can't control himself and his temptations.
It's none of that.
I just mean...
Well, the temptations are right there. They go, here, eat this. Okay.
You're worried that you're going to be eating yourself sick every
night. Oh, this is fried too? Delicious. Great. Bring it up. Oh, is that a donut that's been fried? Yes. Yes, it is, buddy. Oh, it's so great. I love it so much. Which I can't do it. I need to space it out. We need multiple years between my New Orleans trips. If I have two separate incidents within 3 months where I put on 15 pounds each time, like that's like heart issue. Type stuff.
It is.
That's like serious.
The only good news, I guess, in terms of eating that I would pass along to you is our buddy Christian, who's the best, who brought us to New Orleans just a few weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
He has, his restaurant is so booked up with companies because it's a famous, renowned, amazing place that a year ago, when everyone knew the Super Bowl was going to be there, big time companies spent lots of money to basically close the restaurant down to just throw their own parties.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't really bring us there all week and just wine and dine us and feed us everything on the menu. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's probably a healthy thing.
I was going to say, you never know. Because if I'm left to my own devices, I think I'm not going to the beignet place. I think I'm not going to get one of those muffaladas the size of my stupid head. The answer is yes, I'm getting those things.
You're probably going to.
You know?
Let's start here. How can Jaden Daniels get better in year two than he was in year one? We just watched him have a rookie season, the likes of which nobody's really ever turned in before. It's hard to find flaws in his game. You'd be hard-pressed to find areas where he wasn't prolific. The numbers speak for themselves, right? The team went 12-5. He completed almost 70% of his passes, right at 69%, which is nice. 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, obviously ran all over the place, was their leading rusher as a team this season, had the best rookie rushing season of all time from the quarterback position. How does he get better next year? What can he do to improve? That's what we want to zone in on.
It's a hard question, honestly. So to me, one thing is out of his control, and we've talked about this a bunch, but it's maybe one more weapon, one more easy button, one more, you know, a guy that he can throw to on third down and 8 when everybody's covered, et cetera. That he's got no control over that. To me, this might be something that people disagree with. I'd actually like to see his completion percentage go down a hair. I want a couple throwaways. I want a couple. You know what? There's nothing here. I'm not going to dance around. I'm not going to take the 8-12-yard loss as I try to do something special or a run for zero. Instead, just say, you know what? This one ain't happening. They got the right defense called. They got us here. Let me, before it breaks down and turns into chaos, let me just chuck it away. So if he's at 67% instead of 70%, You know what I mean? Like
few sacks lower.
A couple lower sacks, a couple less turnover risks. When you're talking about a fumble, we were pretty fortunate this year in terms of his fumbles and fumbles lost. To me, I think that's kind of that next bit of growth to say, you know what, this one's DOA. This play is not going anywhere. And I think that's a hard thing for a guy with that kind of talent, frankly, to learn, a guy with that kind of swag and confidence, where you go, I'm Jaden Daniels. That play ain't dead. What I do is I make the play that isn't there, I make the transcendent one. And there's still time to do that, but I think that's kind of a maturity thing, an experience thing, where I say, you know what, this they got the right thing called against us. I could scramble around and dance and do a whole bunch of different things with very little net result. Let me just fire this one out of bounds and we'll try again.
I'm glad you brought up the fumbles, because it was amazing to me how infrequently he fumbled. You know, he fumbled 3 times in the first game of the season and just twice over the final 16 weeks. At the quarterback position, that's pretty astounding.
It's very astounding.
But yeah. You know what that comes from, I think, is he almost never got hit from the blind side, like standing in the pocket. You think about quarterbacks that fumble a lot. It's often guys that stand in the pocket and stay there, and they get hit as they're throwing or hit as they're, you know, surveying and looking the field over. He is, you know, padding. Got to go.
Yep.
And he's like out of the pocket. And most of the time, because of that, he's able to tuck the football, you know, as he's being tackled or he's getting grabbed from behind as he's falling forward or whatever. But even still, even by the standard of he's not a pocket passer who's just going to get crunched in the pocket all the time from his blind side, to only fumble twice in the last 16 games of the year.
Yeah, 5 for the season. I'll sign up for that sight unseen.
Hilarious.
And you add into that, by the way, some of the ball handling, where it's not just turn around, hand it off. It's part handoff into the gut, pull it back, the RPO kind of game. That's an underrated skill that a lot of guys have.
Absolutely.
Jalen Hurts is incredible at it. Griffin was so good at it when he was here. You know, again, handling in that way where you're trying to be deceptive, there's got to be some sleight of hand to it. He's really good at it.
So I've got a couple of things that I think he could do better. But I would start by saying, well, I'll play along with the question we're asking. I think his goal should not be to be better. His goal should be to not take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need him to be better. I mean, that's another question that could be fair to ask. Does he even need to be better? I thought he played well enough to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC Championship game. I didn't think he was a strength or dynamite or, you know, prolific or anything like that in that final game, but he was fine. He didn't cost them the game. He didn't do anything that was awful. The interception late was when the game was already lost and he was just trying to make something happen. I think if he plays at the exact same level next year with more talent around him, you could get to the Super Bowl. And so for me, the goal should actually be to avoid a regression.
That sophomore slump, yeah.
The C.J. Stroud second year where everything kind of got a little bit worse on his resume, his numbers. And some of it might have been that he wasn't on the same page with his coordinator or they've blown out Bobby Slowick. Some of it may have been the injuries around him. But the fact is, all of those things can happen. Your relationship in a building with a coach can change, right? Your elite players around you, like Nico Collins was out for several weeks. C.J. Stroud just had to deal with that. That's like if Terry McLaurin wasn't available to Jaden Daniels for a few weeks. You think he'd be a little worse? Probably so. Tank Dell got hurt, who's one of their explosive guys where they can move all over the place and get big plays out of in the slot. You think they'd be worse off if one of their better pass-catching weapons down the depth chart went down? I bet you they would. And so, to me, the goal should be just not taking a step back. With the film that's out there and coordinators game planning for you all offseason and finding all your tendencies, like when you pull the ball down and roll right, you still might throw it. When you pull the ball down and roll left, you're almost certainly going to run it. Like little things like that, that now are known tendencies, I think you've got to try to go back and self-scout and try to just change as many of those things that, where the book's out on you as possible, just to solidify where you were this year. Because it's a massive win to me if he is the exact same year next year.
I think that's a smart way to put it, right? Because if you add to your toolbox, you can now fight some of the tendencies, right? As you said, like a defensive coordinator who's really, really bright and they get paid to figure out how to stop you, studies all offseason and says, okay, for example, the one you picked on or grabbed. Hey, if he rolls right, it's X. If he rolls left, it's Y. And there were a couple times I know, like, for example, that I think it was against Atlanta when they had a play where he was rolling left and the whole world thought he was running it and he kind of threw across his body for a touchdown to Zacchaeus, or maybe it was Crowder in the end zone for a TD on one of those goal line plays. That was a smart tendency breaker, right, where nobody was expecting that. More of those things will go a long way. So maybe working on throwing while rolling to his left. So you add a little bit to be able to counter, but you're right. Statistically, and in terms of the impact, these unbelievable clutch plays, or if you're within a score in the last handful of minutes, you feel like you're going to win. Don't change those things, but you still want to be adding to your toolkit because everyone else going up against you is as well.
I guess if I'm actually answering the question, though, and I say, where can Jaden Daniels be better, improve? What should he hone in on going into this coming year? The first thing I'm going to say, and I thought he got a lot better at this as the year went on, but there's just always room for growth. And this is going to be the number one thing I harp on with him for years and years to come. It's going to be leaving the pocket to reset to throw, not to run. Because that's where the huge plays are. When you leave the pocket and you scramble, you might get four, you might get six. And because he's electric and makes someone miss, maybe he gets 12 or 14. But if you reset before the line of scrimmage and throw, and the defenders are now sucked up to try to stop you, that's where you can get 20 or 30 or 50 in a touchdown. It happens around the league. Once every couple of weeks, you see it from the mobile playmaking quarterbacks. Early in the year, and I mean the first couple of weeks, it just wasn't a part of his game at all. As soon as he got flustered and left the pocket, eyes were down, he's taken off to run. By the middle of the season, I think that had been fixed. And we talked about this when they went back to Tampa, and you saw it a couple times in the playoff game. Week one, he's just taking off. Week 19, as it were, he's throwing. He's resetting, he's planting, he's surveying, he's finding a guy. He got so much better at that. I want that growth to continue. The more of that, like if he's now at 50% of the time he resets and throws, let's turn that into 75%. Because to me, that's the secret sauce with the dual threat quarterback. The other thing I'm going to say is, in the second half of the season, as they started to push the ball down the field a little bit more and just ask him to do more in the passing game, it felt like, he turned the ball over a little bit more. Not alarmingly so, ever. But as an example, in the final seven games of the regular season, he threw seven interceptions. In the first seven games of the regular season, he threw two interceptions. Mm-hmm. And I think if you even extrapolate that out to like the first 10 games, I think it was still two interceptions. But you saw it against the Falcons where he gets fooled. It happens. Young quarterback.
Sure, yeah.
But I do think that this, unless they get a lot more talented and it's a different makeup of their team, this operation is going to be as good as them not turning the ball over. Because when you're one of these ball-controlled, run-the-football, ideally I think they want to be a let's-win 20-17 games kind of outfit, you can't throw two picks and win a lot of those games. Or, as it were, in the playoffs, you can't turn the ball over four times with three fumbles, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a Daniels issue. But that's one thing I would say, too. We didn't talk about a lot down the stretch, but there was that string of two picks against the Eagles, two against the Cowboys, one against the Titans, one against the Falcons. We didn't really see that early in the year. Not a big deal. In fact, I would even say expected, and he was amazing in that regard this year. But if we're talking about areas where he could improve next year, let's make sure that you nip that in the bud.
Yeah, it's all within the caveat of this was one of the best rookie seasons, if not the best of all time.
Yep.
So that's the baseline.
Oh,
so
we're picking nits.
Yeah, so people don't tune in and go, they're just bashing Daniels. No, that's not the case.
Well, they'll say that anyway because we're not doing another segment where we talk about how he walks on water. And if you do anything with this fan base other than saying he's the greatest quarterback of all time and you wouldn't trade him for Patrick Mahomes, then you're a hater though. But yeah, I mean, I think adults can have a conversation about it's going to be tough to replicate this year. So what kind of things, when he goes back to the drawing board, does he want to think about?
And so the final thing for me is, and this was, again, not commonplace, but you saw it a few times in the last game against Philadelphia where it's funny to call someone that athletic, that quick, that strong, and everything lazy. So the lazy is not the right word, but the occasional feeder form or lazy where your guy's open and you're just flipping it to him instead of getting your feet swung around and you hit the running back. So it's not a low throw. So Crowder's not digging it out of the dirt for one that's incomplete, or Zacchaeus isn't reaching down, or Eckler's not reaching down.
I didn't think that was an issue throughout the year.
It wasn't.
It was a major problem in the Eagles game, like recency, because I thought about saying that and I'm like, well, really, I don't remember that being a problem for this season.
Again, it wasn't one of the things I'd go, unless he fixes that, he ain't going anywhere. By no means the case.
But do you remember another game where like that many throws around the line of scrimmage?
Not that many, no. But there's one or two per week, and that's what we're talking about here. Is
like to go from really good to the best in the league.
Yeah, to go to like, because that's his ceiling, is the bleeping MVP.
Yeah.
Like that's what we're talking about. Like, how do you win an MVP? You clean up two throws a game, you reset one time for one more big play, and, you know, get lucky in terms of touchdown passes.
I even think if he replicates his performance this season,
he'll be a contender.
And does it next year with the addition in talent that they're going to spike and have added to this roster. And now you're not surprising anyone. You come in, you were just the number one selling jersey in sports this past football season. Like, the narrative's behind you anyway, right? So he'll be in that mix. But let's take calls on this and see what you guys think. The phone lines are open at 800-636-1067. What areas do you think Jaden Daniels can improve upon in his second year? And how would you go about trying to make another leap from just being one of the best in the league, maybe, to the guy in the National Football League, if you were Daniels going into your offseason? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jaden Daniels had a rookie year to remember. Maybe the greatest rookie season in the history of sports. Certainly among modern rookies in this era, certainly among quarterbacks, you're not going to find a better one. You could go back to the 50s, and there's some running backs along the way. You could look at Jim Brown's rookie year, wins MVP award, and you maybe say that that was better. But we've never seen anything like this in this era of the NFL with the quarterback position, which is the hardest to play. But we're trying to figure out how he can add to his game. What can he do to level up? The question is available for you to answer right now on social. We're at Grant H. Paulson and Funny Danny on Twitter. And, of course, you can call us at 800-636-1067.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, tweaking a play or two here or there for what's already incredible. You know, if this is just it forever, I'll be thrilled. See you in Canton, I'll go to the induction ceremony.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, if this is the level he plays at for the rest of his career, to your point, he's a Hall of Famer. And I'm looking forward to a few parades.
Yeah.
Because they're going to win Super Bowls. Because he is in the ilk of the best in the sport. That's Mahomes and Burrow. And, you know, the really special Jackson Allen category that we talk about all the time. But staying at this level is hard.
Yeah.
And it's, as I always say, harder to write the second bestseller than the first, which means to just be as good, you now have to actually be better come next September.
And I don't know if I've got the details right, but I remember generally where Brady decided after winning several Super Bowls and being the MVP and doing this, that, and the other, he went to USC to work with the baseball coach to practice throwing on the run. I need to do that better. He added that to his toolbox. That's kind of what we're talking about here. For me, I'll do it quickly. The occasional throwaway when something's DOA, you don't want to curb that incredible instinct and that ability to make something out of nothing, which he's got, but sometimes it's especially nothing. And instead of running around 30 yards and dodging seven people and getting hit or popped or making it a negative one or, you know, forcing something, throw it away. Let's get to the next play. I'd like to see that. A little bit more consistency. Again, it's a 99, maybe make it 100 on footwork and all those sorts of things so we don't leave a couple throws short or miss because, you know, we're feet got lazy and our ability took over. That's my list of tweaks. It's not very long. It's pretty incredible that this is where we are.
Yeah, normally at the end of a rookie season, we could do 4 hours on areas where he showed some signs,
right?
But where he's got to get a lot better. Instead, this is like a, you know what would be awesome is if he went from really good in this area to spectacular.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of where we are. Dean says, here's how Jaden can get better next year. He'll be able to command the offense better. I hope he fixes some issues he's talking about the underthrowing of guys around the line of scrimmage. Maybe better pocket awareness. I think the pocket awareness thing comes with time. That is natural. Even the guys that aren't better year in and year out and aren't on the level of Jaden Daniels, you naturally get a better feel for who's coming, who isn't, seeing blitzers, seeing rushers, which I think he did pretty well. I just don't think accuracy was much of a problem, to be honest. That is not to say he didn't miss throws. Every single quarterback will miss throws. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we can go back and go, well, that I didn't love, or this throw he could have made. Yeah, same with Patrick Mahomes in every game he's ever played in. So I don't harp on that much because there's like a line of demarcation that he's well above. But for me, it's really about his health, too. one of my greatest fears when he was drafted was if he's going to be durable enough to play a full season,
yep.
And he was this year. It's not guaranteed next year or in the future years. Remember, there was one injury this year that he had to deal with, and for about a month, he played at a completely different level, probably because of that injury, certainly because in some way he was favoring it or compromised or thinking about it. He just didn't run around as much, which is his specialty, didn't really leave the pocket with the same suddenness. As a thrower, he wasn't quite the same, and that happened for a month this year. Or else, who knows? I mean, maybe they win a couple more games, and maybe he is squarely in the MVP conversation. But what if next time, instead of playing through that injury, he's out for a month? Or what if instead of and we don't know what the injury was, but I'll say, you know, a hairline fracture to a rib, maybe it's a couple ribs and he can't play for an extended period of time. Like, he's got to be on the field. I don't know that there's anything he can do this offseason to control that. It's not like he's going to add a bunch of weight or add a bunch of muscle. I think the frame is what it is. But it does seem like, for whatever reason, and I'll knock on wood when I say this, naturally, he does a pretty good job. Some guys are injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he is able to get up from a lot of hits that it seems like a lot of guys wouldn't.
And he doesn't have that, I don't have a good description for it. He doesn't have that heat-seeking gene, where it always felt like certain quarterbacks always end up getting crunched and crushed. Now, not to say they didn't take the awkward hit. Think of that Atlanta game where he got folded up. But it wasn't like Griffin, where it was two or three a game. You know, like some of the guys that, like, I always thought Patrick Ramsey had like a defender finding magnet to get hit as hard as humanly possible. I feel like Daniels in general does a pretty good job of avoiding the major crunch.
Yeah, we saw him fall, dive, slide, use the sideline, like hop out of bounds. If he took, I'm making up a number, but if he took 20 big hits this year as a runner, I'd like to turn that down to like 15 next mm-hmm. year.
Yeah.
And then 10 the year after that. Like, just keep getting sharper in that area. Let's go to Seth in Arlington. What's up, Seth? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
I think I agree with you guys. I think just throw the ball away. I mean, don't take those bad sacks. I think we saw that in the playoffs a little bit. But I did want to ask you guys, if he maintains this level of play and the team maintains this level of play, which would be awesome, looking ahead to the draft, where do you see the biggest need? I mean, I would think offensive line, given that guy going down, but –
Are you talking about on the offensive side of the ball or overall?
Just overall. I mean, as like if you look at the body of work from the year, which was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think. So I'll answer one on offense, and I'll give you my overall. Overall, I think it's funny to say this because their two highest paid players the last few years have been D tackles. I think they dramatically have to upgrade their ability to stop the run. However, they feel like they need to get that done. But I would completely rework the defensive line. One of Allen or Payne will not be back. I think that's a lock. I wouldn't be stunned if neither of them were back, to be honest with you. My guess is that either they feel like they can't trade Payne's number or they want to keep one of them around, and Allen's actually the better player at this point, so they keep him. But I think they need to find a way to address the defensive line, to generate more pass rush, and to stop the run. Offensively, biggest priority, you and I might disagree on this a little bit because they need a wide receiver. You've harped on that. They could use a tight end who can stretch the field. I want a running back with speed. That is my number one wish for this offense. They need to go get their Jahmyr Gibbs. No, I won't even say Saquon Barkley because those guys aren't available.
Yeah, it'll make a ton of them.
But they need be more realistic, mid-round pick. Bucky Irving, what he gave the Bucks, the fact that he cannot be tackled, the fact that he is, you know, number one in the league other than Derrick Henry at yards after initial contact and forced missed tackles in the open field, completely changed their running game. They went from one of the worst in the league to one of the best based almost solely on his presence. I want speed. I want someone that scares the defense at running back to open some things up down the field for Daniels.
Yeah, if you're talking about improving the roster, it's going to be hard for me to argue with any of it just in terms of where we prioritize. To me, I want that easy button for wide receiver so he doesn't have to play hero ball as much. I'd like to do better on the offensive line in a couple spots. Now, I don't know how tied they are to Allegretti for the long term. And
he makes basically an amount of money that would be fine for a backup.
Yeah, so for me, I would see, you know, let's say for the sake of argument, it falls this way, a right tackle in the draft, and all of a sudden, now I can either have Wiley be inside all the time, you have Sam Cosby there, but you know what I mean? Like, now I'm a guy that should be journeyman, backup swing tackles like Cornelius Lucas are kind of relegated to that role. Let's say there's a dominant right tackle. Now your whole line's better, and you're not saying, well, we can't run to that side against the Eagles. Maybe now you can.
I'd be fired up to add a better starting right tackle and even to upgrade at left guard and Allegretti becomes like your swing guard backup. Mm-hmm. And to your point, like Wiley is your swing tackle or whatever. Or if he's out, Lucas is your swing tackle. But if you have two new starters that are upgrades with Cosmi back from an ACL, remember, it's not a lock he'll be ready in September.
That's true.
Even a quick recovery, because you're a lineman, you're not twitchy, you don't need burst. Like, that's an 8-month recovery probably for the ACL. That's still September from when he got hurt. So I think it's unrealistic to think that
he'd be expect him to hit the ground running. That's a good point.
So they probably need to address the interior. We're not even talking about Brandon Coleman. Up and down as a rookie left tackle, as a third-round pick. I like his future upside for sure. But, I mean, is there a chance that they look at him and say, we think he could be a Pro Bowl guard, you know, or we think he'd be really good on the right side, but we need to go get an expensive left tackle who's going to make 10 Pro Bowls.
Yeah, we can go get our Jonathan Ogden in the draft, and now he's a really good right tackle, talking about Coleman. So, I mean, again, there's a group that needs talent. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Like, you find a plus player, regardless if it's where I think it's the most important or not, I'm not going
to
argue with you.
Back to the topic at hand, we're asking you guys, what can Jaden Daniels do better? Was there an area of his game as a rookie that you want to see him improve as a sophomore? You're listening to The Fan. At the top of the hour on Grant and Danny, we're going to get into a story involving an athlete we haven't talked about on this show in a long time, Bradley Beal. He's now with the Phoenix Suns. He was in the middle of, I guess, a little mini controversy, I'll say, but I think it's an incredible sports radio discussion that I want to have with you coming up at the top of the hour about 10 minutes out. So we'll do that right here on G&D. Speaking of hoops, it's a Wizards Wednesday. We're going to give away Wizards tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. And we've got former Maryland football star, he a Terp, Sean Merriman, stopping by to talk Super Bowl Chiefs-Eagles with us. That's at 5:30. I don't care about Super Bowl numbers, so I'm kind of unsure. Is this Super Bowl 59?
Yeah.
I should know that as someone who's getting ready to fly to New
Orleans. Well, as soon as I see you to do the Roman numerals, I get it. They're trying to do this
licks.
Cool thing.
It's licks.
Yeah.
Which I believe is 59 because L is 50 and then IX is 9.
Yeah, 10 minus 1 because it's on the left side.
Enough with Roman numerals.
This is where I was going.
Get rid of them.
We've come so far.
GD now.
We've come so far. The whole point was, hey, we've improved upon this system. Their way of doing it, highly inefficient. Let's just write a 9, not a 10 minus 1. Do you know how much more efficient a 9 is than a 10 minus 1? I just got 9, man. I don't need to do any math in my head. What's an X? It's an VVXXIII.
Let me ask you this.
No.
I learned that an X was 50 based on Super Bowl 50. It was kind of cool. It was just the X, right? What is 60? Is next year going to be cool? Because right now, or L, I keep saying X. L is 50.
Yeah, so it's LX. That's 60.
Ooh. You might be right.
See what I'm saying? LIX is 10. That's how they do it. They
so
go
I understand.
10 digit, then 10 minus 1.
L was just 50 by itself.
Yes.
60 does not have a letter. In other words, why doesn't 60 get a letter? If 50 gets L, why
exactly.
Isn't like T then 60?
You see, we've improved upon it. Get the letters out of my mathematics. Numbers, bro. Numbers.
What if we didn't use Roman numerals? Anyway, enough with that. Super Bowl 59. We'll ask Sean Merriman about it. We're talking Jaden Daniels right now and how he can improve. Mike's in Gaithersburg. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, brother? See, here's the tricky part. You know, you can't necessarily draft on needs because what if the talent that's out there is not worthy of the pick that you're picking with and you see something else? Because really, to be honest with you, the line issue is going to take more than just the draft. And why not the develop Kingsbury understand this, and you have one of the best quarterbacks you'll see. People don't understand how great the quarterbacks that we've been able to be blessed at one time what we're witnessing like right now, from Josh Allen, Lamar, you know, Mahomes, Brady, Manning. You know, when Daniels understands that, and he wants to be there. Like, he even gave you hints to let you know he was going to be a great person because he's going to learn. And he's always been a quarterback. All you need is a speedster on out, somebody who's quick, you know, worthy in the second or third round. And see, if you get lucky with, you know, a lineman or someone that can help you.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
I want to go back to something he said early in the call about kind of the golden era here with these quarterbacks. I was thinking about this. Remember the dialogue recently?
Literally what I was going to say.
Like, man, it's a tough time, you know, with Phil Rivers walking away. Look around the league. We're just light on quarterbacks. What's going to happen when Breeze and Brady and Manning step away? We're screwed. And then you've got the next tier of the Mount Rushmore, which is Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Lamar, which takes over for Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers. Breeze, Brady, Manning, Rodgers. So you've got your Mount Rushmore. But this class that was just drafted looks like it's just going to completely restock the shelves.
Yep.
I don't know about Caleb Williams. He's got some baggage, but I do think that him and Ben Johnson together gives him a chance to be very good.
Yeah, it's not a talent problem.
Right. He's super talented. Obviously, Jaden Daniels looks like the real deal. Drake May, on a terrible team with nothing around him, flashed like a strobe light, looks like he is a franchise quarterback and a stud. I would even say Bo Nix. I'm not breaking any news here. Far exceeded expectations.
Second rookie of the year voting, yeah.
He looked like a really, really good quarterback of the future. And I think Michael Penix, we saw him in Landover lead a brilliant drive to send a game to overtime in his second start ever. He's got a chance to be really good. We haven't seen J.J. McCarthy yet, but in the preseason, he was nails.
He looked good.
Like he was on his way to having a strong start for the Vikings. This might restock the shelves completely this past year's draft.
There was, to your point, it was only a handful of years ago where the super seniors, right? I mean, the guys that are almost 40 or north of 40 in Brady's case, you know, the Mannings, the Breezes, and the aforementioned Tom Brady are hanging them up, and you go, yeah, there's Mahomes. Yeah, there's Josh Allen. Yeah, there's Lamar. But, man, we don't have that group to round out the top 10. Now you got too many to choose from, especially with some of these young signal callers. It really is incredible how that happened.
Back to the Daniels topic, I think we should acknowledge the biggest thing that could possibly happen, in my opinion, for him to make a step forward this year is to keep the same offense and the same coordinator. And it's going to change some because it already looks like four teams want to talk to David Blau.
There'll be a couple of voices out of that room, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to lose a couple of their young offensive guys that are supposedly the guys that are going to fill in for Cliff, which has always been my problem with this, that those guys get picked away too. But regardless, Kingsbury's coming back for one more year at least. So now you got another year until you got to worry about that. Having Kingsbury come back to be in Daniel's ear is going to be a godsend. And for him to have the same offense and that continuity year over year, young in his career, now gives him a chance to build on. Not to just get back to where he was, but to build on that and get better, which I think is going to be a huge deal. Let's talk Bradley Beal and the controversy out of the NBA with the Phoenix Suns that he found himself embroiled in yesterday. You're listening to Grant and Danny.